All right, it's that time for some spiritual shotgun preaching. You guys will get 5 minutes. Lorenzo will lead us off. I'll give you a nice hearty 1 minute left, if need be. And everyone else, if you can pick up on the theme, and it should be pretty easy, but see if you can kind of notice a pattern here. So bring them on up.
Well, good evening. What if I told you that you're no good? What if I told you that you're dumb? You're slow. You're not of any use to our team. I think you might just keep trying to find another team. Or, I'm sorry, you're just not working out for us. You know, you don't really have the right skills that we're looking for. How would that make you feel? Rejected, right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 2. You know, when we played softball, it was a lot of fun. It was actually very competitive, and we got really into it. But you notice, I started to think certain people, when they are told that they're doing a bad job repetitively, they end up crumbling at the seams. And they don't necessarily bounce back the same. But sometimes I noticed that certain people, even when they made mistakes a few times over, when you gave them a hand and you said, "Hey, it's okay, I just made a mistake a few plays ago," you notice that they start responding a little bit differently. And tonight we're going to be talking about kindness, the kindness of our God. Romans chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Says, "But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" I'm going to ask somebody, you know, you could ask the question, ask anybody, are you perfect? I mean, have you ever made a mistake? Have you lived your entire life and never made a mistake? Everybody has. And that's one thing I like about Romans chapter 1, actually. It makes the contrast between God and how He's evident everywhere. And then it shows also that there's a lot of sin out there, and a lot of people have suppressed the truth, and they made a lot of mistakes, and they've turned away from God. And then it brings us into chapter 2, and he says, "Therefore you have no excuse," talking about passing judgment. But basically, when you pass judgment on somebody else and you're guilty of the same thing, you're in trouble, you know. It's kind of a hypocritical type thing. In verse 2 it says, "And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things." So, if we are passing judgment upon somebody else, and we're not extending the grace and the kindness that God is already extending to them and He's extended to us, how does that make us look? I mean, God says, He's like, "I'm rightly judged." They're going to get their judgment. Nobody's going to get away with anything. So if you think that you judging somebody or taking things into your own hand now is going to help the situation, it may actually make you look more like a fool. But because God is going to be judging everybody. And matter of fact, when we judge somebody on a basis of our own measure, but we don't even match that, we're the ones who are also going to be in trouble. But let's turn to John chapter 12. Because these verses are talking about, hey, don't judge them on your own standard, but nobody's going to escape the judgment of God. And we know that part of the Holy Spirit's job in us is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. By no means are we not supposed to make people feel convicted and to challenge people. John chapter 12, verse 47. Jesus says, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Let's stop right there for a second. That makes us feel really good, doesn't it? Ooh, I like stopping right there. It says, hey, Jesus himself says he didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Okay, that's good. But that's kind of taking things out of context, right? He said, I am coming here because you guys need me, because this is what it's going to take for me to save you. And then we go on to verse 48. He says, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. So we know that God, he came to save the world. And it's the ultimate judgment is through his word. So since I don't have a whole lot of time, the best way we can extend God's kindness is point them towards God's word and forgive them as we have been forgiven. And I'm going to go back over verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What is the ultimate goal? Are we trying to beat something over somebody's head because you're wrong, you're wrong, you messed up, you're not learning, you're no good? Or are we trying to help people, steer them in a direction and say, I want you to follow this judgment because this is the Lord's kindness and it will lead you to life and you will succeed. You will be granted grace that leads you to repentance. And so that's just what I want to kind of focus on. But I've noticed it a lot for myself. Sometimes I'm my own worst critic, you know. And I really like to look back and think about the kindness of God. He is there always trying to help me grow and grow and look past those mistakes to repentance. Thank you.
Good evening, church.
Evening.
Since now it says evening, it's nice to have prompts up here. Should write out a whole message on the whiteboard. That'd be kind of cool. So, Romans chapter 11, verse 22 is this verses that I've been given. And while you're turning there, you know, in religiosity today, a very popular doctrine, if you will, loosely, doctrine is that once saved, always saved. And if you love God and you invite him into your heart, that he will be there forever in your life, and without consequence, you will be with him in eternity. And that's all kind of nice to think of, that there's very little effort in that. But that's not what scriptures bear out. And so in Romans chapter 11, in verse 22, behold then the kindness and the severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, Christian, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, and if not, otherwise it says you will also be cut off. So we see that, you know, God's kindness is a given. I mean, most people know that. Most people that believe in God know of his kindness and that God is love, right? And that's very true. And man, is he kind. And wow, is he loving. I don't want to take away from that in these verses. He obviously is, and he is love. So, but the other part of this is that God's just also. He is just in his judgments. And he is impartial. So we have to, those who proclaim to be Christian have to realize the other side of the coin. God has given us a choice. And there are two choices, either to follow him or not. Either to believe him or not. And there's the other side of the coin is kind and loving as God is, his severity is pretty incredible as well. So I wanted to make sure that we mention that in this verse also, because it says behold the kindness and the severity of God. And I've always kind of read over that, to be honest. It's true. God means business. He means what He says. So I want to encourage us to remember that as well. Because in... In 2 Thessalonians, turn there real quick. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians. No, I was right. 2 Thessalonians 1. I'm going to use all my time correcting myself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 and 8. And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So there is definitely another side to that kindness and love. And that's not meant for His people. Understand that. That's meant for those who are not in His camp. We as Christians want to be in His camp, and we want that kindness and love side of it. But we do have a choice to make, each one of us, and to follow His directions. The other choice is: do we want to do the will of God or do we not? So I just want to encourage us in that. Let's turn to Psalms 31 in closing. In verse 23, and we know a pretty familiar verse is that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We want to be those who seek Him, and that's the people that He's want, the nation of His making. In verse 23 of Psalm 31, oh, love the Lord, all you His godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. So, remember, the choice is ours. We either do or we don't. All right? Thanks.
All right. Give me a chance.
I was thinking a shotgun. Thinking I need to be like the guy in Terminator with the one-handed shotgun. Pretty cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I think you guys are probably getting a feel for what the theme is. Working on kindness. And my passage, as you can see, is Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22. We'll start off with that. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things we're going to get is the kindness. And you know what? I think of this. Kindness isn't an accident. Just like fruit isn't an accident. We were driving home from Paradise Valley yesterday, our little camping trip, and we were driving through the mountains, and Quinn pointed at the mountains and asked, he asked Mom and Dad, he's like, did people plant those trees? And I was like, man, that'd be brutal to climb those mountains and plant all those trees up there. But you know, he's thinking, and he's looking at, you know, all the big world around him, and you know what? People didn't plant those trees. God planted those trees. And he asked about Billings. Did people plant those trees? And like, yeah, actually, people probably planted those trees. But in the end, we all know that those things didn't just accidentally show up. They had to be planted. We can see the fruit of them now, but they were planted a long time ago. And the same goes for kindness. Same goes for any fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we're going to accidentally have. It's something that we have to plant and then cultivate. Really, when I think of fruit, I think of like the outcome. Like it's really the outcome of something you've done in the past, or something you've prepped for or created, or something a long time ago, and now you're going to see the fruit now. And so kindness, I mean, I think we'll all agree that We want to have the spirit of kindness. I mean, you guys want to be around people who are short and rude, or you want to be around people who are kind? I mean, really, we see Jesus in the way when he walked this earth, the kindness that just poured out of him, and it attracts others. Without that, you're gonna repel people. Another passage on this comes to mind is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. A few verses here. If it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." So, guys, we want to have a spirit of kindness. So first we have to have God's spirit. We have to have the spirit in us. But then we have to cultivate it. We have to help it to grow. We have to practice our kindness. I can tell you the people I think of that are kind, you know what? They're not kind sometimes. They're kind all the time, or majority of the time. It's something that they're good at because they do it a lot. And you know what? I look up to those people because it's something that I want to be like. It's something that I need to work on even more is being kind. So let's remember that in order for us to truly show kindness, it must be first planted and then cultivated in us. So let's do that. Let's plant it. Let's have that spirit of kindness for those around us, and you know what? And really show that power that really comes from Christ through that kindness. Thank you.
I'm going to be in 2 Peter to start out tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 5. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." All right. This is a great passage. I love this passage. When I read this through, there's two things, big things that really jump out at me. The first one is, we control our own eternal fate. We do have control over our eternity. You look at verse 10. This one deals with Calvinism pretty well. The whole predestination thing. You know, they like to take when Jesus said, "Many are called, few are chosen." Run with that. Well, you know, look at verse 10. Whose responsibility is it to be diligent, to be sure of the calling? It's ours, isn't it? It's our responsibility to be diligent. And that's the main thing. We control our eternity. Second thing is that also, if we are walking in the way that God wants us to walk, that there will be evidence of that in our actions. Looking at verse 9, it says, "He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." That made me think of a passage from James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, you know, just thinking about it, if we're not being a doer of the word, you know, if kindness is not evident in our actions, we're just like the guy who looks in the mirror and then forgets what he's like when he walks away. Or as verse 9 would say, you're short-sighted. Mr. Miller, in his Lord's Supper, he went to 1 John chapter 5 and talks about how our faith is the victory. And that is a true statement. Ultimately, we are saved by what we believe we are. But also, you know, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be actions that go along with it, like kindness. Let's go to James chapter 2. I'm going to read a little section here that we're pretty familiar with, but I just love how it ties faith and actions together here. Starting in verse 14, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So like we touched on before, our eternity is in our control, like we saw. Our eternity is within our control. So then the question is, how do we make sure of the calling? How do we be certain? Well, you know, the answer was in verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter. I'm just going to flip back there really quick. Verses 5 to 7, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness, love. And so as we see, it says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Okay, so how do we be certain of the calling? Well, you could sum it up as brotherly kindness, love, practicing these things. So that's my encouragement to us tonight. Let's practice these things and be certain of our calling.
All right, I got mop-up duty tonight. Psalm 106, verse 7. Psalm 106, verse 7, "Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea." You know, ever since I was a little kid, it always amazed me how quick the Israelites were to turn on Moses. You know, he's leading them out of slavery here, and they come up against the Red Sea, and then they see Pharaoh's army coming, and they start blaming Moses. "You led us out here to die." You know, and then God, with his kindness, provides a way of escape, and they're brought through the Red Sea. Yet it's not long before they forget God's kindness, and they're making a false idol, a golden calf. And then God, you know, bails them out of that. And it's not long before, you know, they're complaining and they forget God's kindness about, you know, leading them out of Egypt, and they're like, well, we're hungry and we want food here. You know, back in Egypt, at least we had full bellies, and, you know, we'd rather have our security than our freedom. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Again, they're quick to forget God's kindness. And that always amazed me. You know, they saw these signs and wonders that God was performing. You know, how could they forget? You know, but I'm also amazed by today how quickly people are to forget God's kindness. You know, I'm sure we've all been in a discussion with someone where they say, you know, I just refuse to believe that God would send that many people to hell. You know, a loving God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't do that. You know, and what people have to understand is that, you know, it's God's kindness that we actually have a way of deliverance. He didn't have to save us. You know, he would have been perfectly just in sending every one of us to hell. Yet it's because of God's kindness that we have a way. And it's available to anyone if they really want it. Turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, starting verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to send his only begotten son down here to save us. Yet it's through his kindness that he did that. And then flip forward to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. There's nothing that we can do to earn that. God's giving this to us if we're just willing to take it here. And something I appreciate about God is that, you know, his kindness, it gives us forgiveness of sins. It takes care of our past. That's great. You know, we can take those lessons, but without any of the consequences or, you know, the sin hanging over our heads. You know, he takes care of the past, but his kindness doesn't stop there. He also provides, you know, provision for the future. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Starting in verse 4. But when the kindness of our God, of God our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So not only did he forgive our sins, but he gave us his Spirit. He gave us provision for the future. And then one last verse I want to hit here, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give forgiveness of sins to those who ask him? Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say forgiveness of sins. It says give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So we see that this was God's plan all along. He wanted to give this to us. And so I just pray that, you know, each of us in our daily lives, as we're walking by the Spirit, that, you know, we're constantly reminded of God's forgiveness, and that we don't become like the Israelites and forget it. You know, we want to be in constant remembrance of God's kindness. Thank you.
Well done, everyone. I think we nailed that theme home nice and good. Just a couple thoughts. And then as we wrap up, I'd like to have Josh come on up and close us in prayer. Before we do, though, you know, I just kind of came home and was thinking about, well, what should we What should we talk about? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to look up and see what does the word have to say about kindness. And I know God is kind and we're supposed to be kind. And, you know, I just saw a nice little progression kind of open itself up, you know, that it was God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And that was brought out so well. Okay. God didn't have to do this. He chose to. He desired. You know, those Jews, upon Peter's report after being at Cornelius' household, is like, hey, okay, apparently God has granted repentance to the nations. And that's something that God granted. He gave that. He extended that beyond his people and to the Gentiles. And that's us. And so that was through God's kindness. And then we are to, in Romans 11, continue in that kindness. And I really like the Galatians passage. It's supposed to, as we continue in it, we should reflect the image of Christ and we should be able to bear that fruit in our life. And Caleb did a really good job of showing that when we bear that fruit in our life, God asked us to do that because he says, if indeed these qualities are yours, brotherly kindness being one of them, you will not stumble. And in effect, secure your soul for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, I think God knows what we need in order to make it. And he's called us to kindness, and that would make sense because he is kind. And then a great finish to the end there from Psalm. Don't forget. Don't forget God's kindness. Okay. Josh, you want to come up and close us in prayer? Let's go ahead and stand, guys. Thank you, bro.
Let's pray. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for good week this week and for a good church. Thank you that we can come about your table here and we can think about you and remember you. Thank you, O Lord, that you've communicated yourself to us and that you are spirit and that you are love. Thank you for the things of the spirit that you've given to us freely, all the riches. Thank you that you've been kind to us. Thank you that we can be kind to one another and be kind people. We're happy when we're kind. Thank you that you are kind to us. Pray, Lord, that you'd watch us over us as we go out this week. Help us to show kindness, have that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Pray that you will watch over us. Help us to be patient also that we may display your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.